Good evening, everyone. This
Love
is Psychic
Talk Ed. Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Psychic X Journeyman Show. This is Dee sitting in again tonight for Donnie, who's still down with his migraine. I'm hoping to hear from all of you tonight. Please call in any questions. Before we really get into the show, let me give you the information. If you're looking for a reading from Donnie, you can contact him at psychicxjourneyman.com. And, oh, we have our co-host tonight, which is Cheyenne Starhawk. Hi, Cheyenne.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, well, I'm just giving out information for people. So if you want Donnie, you can contact him, as I said, on his website. You can call him at 740-500-8863. He does group readings. He does relationship counseling. My brain kicks in. Life coaching. He can do palm reading. He works on Skype, off of Skype. Also, he works on Aranum and Keen. You can also have a reading from his girlfriend, April Angel. She's April Angel Love, I believe, or April Angel Medium somewhere. She's on Skype, and she's also on Aranum and Keen. She does spell work as well as clairvoyant work and healing. Donnie also does email readings, and if you're looking for a reading from me, you can contact me at 207-374-5072. Also, you can contact me at spiritwindthemessenger@hotmail.com. If you'd like a phone reading, I do everything for donations, so either a phone reading or an email reading. If you want a phone reading, contact me, and for a 60-minute reading, I suggest a donation of $60. I'll work with other blocks of time, like 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 75, 45, whatever suits you. Also, for an email reading, I suggest a donation of $20. Everything is done through PayPal, but I will work within your budget. So just bring your offer, as Donnie always says, bring your offer to the table. Nobody will be turned away. I'd be more than happy to read for you. No sugarcoating. I won't tell you what I think you want to hear, anything like that. I'll just give you a good, honest reading of exactly what I get. And if you're interested, I also do healing energy work. If you'd like some jewelry, I have a business called Dreamweaver Designs, and you can email me for now at my Spirit Wind email, or you can call me, and we can discuss what you're looking for. I make earrings, bracelets, and necklaces, and if you're looking for, say, a necklace, we'll discuss the length and how many strands you'd like, that sort of thing. I work with stone beads such as ocean jasper, Picasso jasper, moss agate, amethyst, all kinds of beads, including freshwater pearls, and I use stone pendants and strong silver pendants in my jewelry. I also work with, in the designs, there's a lot of Hill Tribe silver, which is handmade by the Hill Tribe's people in Thailand, which is a higher silver content and absolutely gorgeous. I also take tape out from my jewelry.
I'm doing readings on the front part, so I'll be out there for a little while.
So also, we have a sponsor called Richard Divine Body Wash, and Richard Palanga. You can contact him at divinebodywash.com. For anyone who donates $25 to the show, help support it, he will give you you'll receive a bottle of Divine Body Wash. If you donate $35 or more, you'll get a bottle, not only a bottle of body wash, but you'll also get a bottle of body mist. And Cheyenne, would you like to give out your information?
Yes. I can be reached at CheyenneRedFeather6@hotmail.com if you'd like to contact me. Also, my phone number is 720-763-6588 if you would like a phone reading. I do long-distance healing. I do shamanic healing, and I can do long-distance or in-person healings. And they are, you can call me for pricing. I am flexible with anyone who is unable to afford my healings. I give free healings. Those that can afford, I am also willing to do different things in the way of trade or reduced rates. I make my healings affordable to everyone that comes into my life that requires healing work. I also do readings. I do charge $100 an hour for readings, and I'm also flexible on my prices for anything less than an hour. I also provide other minutes. I will do $20 for 15 minutes and on up the scale to 100. And I also am a medium. I can speak with loved ones on the other side. I can do totem animal readings, angel readings. I do oracle card readings, goddess card readings, as well as Ascended Master oracle card readings, and I also can remove entities and negative energies from your body as well as from your home.
Great. The call-in number is 646-721-9031. I'm looking forward to taking your calls. So far we have one guest in the chat room, and that's it. So it's quiet tonight. Donnie's still out nursing his migraine. Hopefully he'll be back soon. So, what should we talk about tonight? Since I sort of stumbled onto this at last moment again. Any suggestions, Cheyenne?
I kind of would like to talk about totem animals and how they come into our lives and what their purpose is for them being here.
I was thinking about that when you were mentioning totem animals.
Totem animals are brought into our lives so that we can learn different ways of being. The totem animals help us to ask ourselves questions about things, different things and different aspects of our lives where we want to heal. We want to like expectations of our lives, things in certain areas of our lives where we are being asked to make changes or where we can get the growth that we need from certain animals. And so the universe asks us to acknowledge those animals in our lives that we have kinship with, places where our animals that we are attracted to. Like I get a lot of inspiration from different animals, and my main totem animals are the red-tailed hawk, which is about the messenger. The hawk is a messenger for God, and so the hawk takes all the messages that from God and brings them to me. So when you see the red-tailed hawk flying in the air, you know that there's a message for you from the spirit world. And my other totem animal is the golden owl, which the owl helps you to see the things that are hidden in your life. It helps you to see, as a reader, as a psychic, I can see under the surface of things that may be hidden to the person, but to me they're not. They are revealed on a regular basis, and they're given consideration. And I give them consideration in alignment with what that person, with respect to what that person has going on in their life at the moment. And so I can give that person the information that they may not have. There are things that are buried in the subconscious. So in working with bird medicine, which is my main focus in my life, I have to have an examination of the medicine and the power of birds through, though should not be that they're not limited to birds of prey alone. Every bird has an ancient symbolic association with it. So all birds are governed by instinct and reflex. They have an ability to react automatically to whatever data presents itself to them. It is a part of their survival instinct. So this same ability to respond automatically from an instinctual or intuitive level is what the bird totems can teach us to do. So that's just a small example of what I go through. I use those birds as totem animals in my life. And so they ask me, for instance, I have a totem animal book by Ted Andrews called Animals Speak. So I go through
great
that
book.
When I yeah, it is. It's a great book. I live by this book because it's so descriptive, and it talks about the cycles of power, what the keynote message is. For instance, with the crow, the keynote is the secret of magic and creation, that magic and creation are calling me. We don't have crows in Colorado. We have
ravens. Got them here in Maine.
But crow and raven are very similar in the way that they, the different symbolic meanings are very, very similar because they look the same. They're both black, but the raven is lots bigger than the crow.
They're basically in the same family, and I found that, sorry to interrupt, but I found that with the medicine cards, which I have, and I also have, I have the Ted Andrews book, and I have the Druid Animal Oracle. With the medicine cards, they call crow law, and they also call, and they call raven the magic. Raven will go into the void and into the darkness where other or others won't dare to go. Because both I have
well,
both raven and crow.
Oh wow!
Now,
yeah,
I also have owl,
the
and
raven
I think
is,
of owl as. Oh, go ahead.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
No, as I was going to say, I also have owl totem, but. And according to what the medicine cards say, they call owl deception, and it's the same idea as what you were talking about. You're not so easily fooled by people. We can still be fooled, but we can. See, but usually, we cut through the illusion of people and can see exactly what they're about. Owls
yeah,
are very wise.
The owls are.
No.
It says that the keynote for the owl in the Ted Andrews books is about silent wisdom and vision in the night, the mystery of magic and omens.
Oh, yes.
And it's the owl is a symbol of the moon, the feminine aspect of us, and the moon is about the lunar, so it's about the night. And so it says that the owl has been called a cat with wings. It has worshipped. It was worshipped as an idol and hated as the reincarnation of the devil. It is believed to have healing powers, and it is because of its association with the moon. It has ties to fertility and seduction, for the moon is the arouser of men and owls. The owl is the bird of magic and darkness, of prophecy and wisdom.
Ooh, fascinating.
And, It's really awesome that the owl, like you said, it helps us to see the truth regardless of if it's being shown to us or not. And I've always had this gift of, I call it the gift of prophecy, where I can tell whether someone is being honest with me or not. And I've always known that that's a really great gift for me to have because it saved my life a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah. Some Native Americans believe that owl is the harbinger of death. There used to be a man in my life he lived out in Oklahoma. He was Kiowa and Comanche, I believe. And for him, an owl was not... like I said, it was the harbinger of death, so they didn't like owls very much. And there was the book that became a movie, I Heard the Owl Call My Name.
Cool. I also have a friend, but he's a Lakota. He's a Lakota Sioux medicine man from Pine Ridge, South Dakota, and he also the tribe of the Lakota Sioux look at the owl as people who do owl medicine are scary to them. Because we can see so many things that they are capable of seeing, so they kind of look at that as a death symbology, too. But he was nice enough to give me a spotted owl feather as a gift.
Oh, you
so
are fortunate.
I treasure it. Yes, he gave me an eagle, a bald eagle feather, as well as an owl feather as a gift. And so I treasure
great.
It, and I use it in my ceremony every morning. So it's really, it's a blessing.
Oh, definitely. I tend to think of owls in a more positive light. And if you really think about death, death is not, it's only the ending of our physical body anyway. That's how I look at it. We all go through that cycle, but spiritually we're still around. It's just our body is gone. And I think owls are absolutely beautiful birds.
And where I live right now, there's a lot of owls. I hear them every morning when I get up and every evening before I go to sleep, so I feel protected.
Oh, you definitely are. I don't seem to see them around here or hear them, and I wish I did.
Well, in the book it says, one who works with owl medicine will be able to see and hear what others try to hide. You will hear what is not being said, and you will see what is hidden or in the shadows. You can detect and pinpoint the subtleties. This can make others uncomfortable because they will not be able to deceive you about their motives or actions. Owl people have a unique ability to see into the darkness of other souls and life. This is very, very scary to most people. This vision and hearing capabilities has metaphysical links to the gifts of clairvoyance and clairaudience as well. The owl as a bird of the night can teach all of the secrets of the night. These secrets involve everything that transpires when the sun is gone. Owls are the eyes of the night, and they see what is not in the open. They have secret knowledge and they can share. Their medicine can extract secrets. That would be very intimidating. I could see where that would be very intimidating to another person.
Yeah. Well, I think people like you and I, we have strong energy, and people go, even if they don't realize why they're doing it. Some people don't realize why they're afraid of somebody else. But when you have very strong energy and you have the gifts that you and I have, that's frightening to a lot of people because they don't know what to do with it. Because when somebody has ulterior motives and they can't hide them from you, they're going to freak out. Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
They want everything to be kept secret so they can, you know, basically sneak in under and whoops, you didn't see that coming. And we can all be blindsided. But if we stay on our toes and work with our totems as well as our angels and our guides, it will really help us a lot in life. We need our totem animals.
And on the other side of things, with the like the buffalo is a really big thing out here. We have in Colorado, we have lots of ranches where they raise buffalo and they're grain fed, so they consider them organic meat because they don't pump them full of antibiotics and stuff. So the buffalo is a really big thing here. And in the 1850s, when the natives were on the plains, there was over 600,000 buffalo, and then the white man came along and decreased it to the point that now they're endangered.
Go ahead.
Well, they would shoot them and then just leave them lay. They wouldn't even use their meat. They were just killing them for fun.
Sport.
You know, just
yeah,
for
that's
the
sport. Where I was going. You said it. That bothers me.
Well,
because
and, you know, go ahead.
It's just the idea that the Indians knew what they were doing. They didn't waste anything. They were always grateful and always gave thanks to Great Spirit for everything they had. And they used every single part of the bison, the buffalo, or whatever animal it was that they killed, they didn't waste anything. And the white man came along, as I recall, seeing things or from whatever, riding along in the train or something and just shooting out the window just to say they'd killed a buffalo. And
yeah,
why?
Yeah, it was a big thing. And that was a thing. Buffalo Bill Cody was the one who started that. And he had a like a sideshow, him and Annie Oakley and Calamity Jane, they all had this like sideshow where they would ride alongside the trains and they would do all these stunts and all this stuff. And it became a big thing to ride along in the train and shoot out the window at the buffalo. And they made you know, a mockery of the way the natives, it caused their survival rate to go down because of the white man just trying to shoot for sport.
Nice.
It says, though, about the buffalo, buffalo is a name that applies to the animals of Asia and Africa. To the Plains Indian, it was a symbol of sacred life and abundance. Once a beautiful woman dressed in white buffalo fur appeared, she brought to the Lakota the sacred pipe, which showed how all things were connected. She taught the men and the women many mysteries of the earth, and she taught them how to pray and follow the proper path upon the earth. She showed them how to pray for and bring forth abundance. As she left, she rolled upon the earth and became a white buffalo calf, and then disappeared over the horizon. No sooner had she disappeared, and great herds of buffalo were seen all around the Indian camps. The bison, or American buffalo, is a symbol of abundance and manifestation. Part of what white buffalo women taught to the Lakota is that they did not have to struggle to survive if the right action was joined with the right prayer. By uniting the mundane and the divine appropriately, all that would be needed would be available. The same idea is embodied even within the biblical scripture, the Lord helps those who help themselves. The bison is a large animal and can weigh up to a ton and a half. It has a massive head, humped shoulders, and almost exaggerated appearance because of its shaggy fur. Humps are often symbolic of stored forces, reservoirs that can be tapped. In the case of the bison, it reflects the abundance that is available if we know how to tap into it. The fact that the hump occurs at the shoulder level implies that we must incorporate our own efforts. Shoulders are symbols of the ability to embrace and hold life. Upon shoulders are carried either our burdens or our rewards. The humped area on the shoulders implies the need for our own efforts. The massive head also implies the need to combine our efforts with the divine. The head is the upper region. It is the symbol of the heavens and of the divine, the higher faculties. In the case of the bison, both aspects are amplified. Both the mundane and the spiritual is necessary for manifesting what we are seeking. The bison is very unpredictable and can be dangerous. This can serve as a warning about not keeping yourself well grounded as you begin to work toward greater abundance in some area of your life. It is a four-footed animal and thus implies groundedness. The bison is also usually follows the easiest path. When we join the right action with the right prayer, the path is not difficult. We do not have to bull our way through. The path opens and flows easily. The bison will use its head to bull and push with on occasion, but it is usually during the winter. Its massive head is used to clear patches of snow so that it can feed upon the grasses beneath. If a bison has shown up for you, it may indicate opportunities to manifest or move toward manifesting abundance in some area of your life. This has hidden within it several cautionary notes, though. This is not a time to push or force. Follow the easiest path. So, I mean, it says that if bison has shown up in your life, look for opportunities for abundance and increase. Also ask yourself some important questions. Are you honoring that which you seek? Are you remembering that the divine is essential to all things in the physical? Are you giving honor to yourself and to the efforts of others within your life? Do you show gratitude for what you already have? The quickest way to stop the flow of abundance is by failing to honor that which has already come to you. So it's just talking about being grateful for what you have already.
And that's something that we often forget to do. We forget to be grateful.
Really easy to
I'm guilty of that.
What you don't have.
Right. And we should be thankful for everything that we do have. As opposed, I mean, if we go around, oh, I don't have this, I don't have that, you know, that becomes our reality. If we start thinking positively, making positive affirmations in our lives are going to go a lot smoother. But we can't run around all the time going, oh, I don't have this, I don't have that, I can't afford this, I can't afford that, and grousing about everybody and everything. People aren't going to want to be around us because we're going to be such downers that they're going to go, oh, steer clear of her or him. We need to be positive and we need to be grateful. And it's very sad that the bison have suffered the way they have, and now there are so few of them left. And there is a book out there, and I don't remember the woman that wrote it, but I know I have two copies of it because I think I highlighted one so much that it kind of bled through, but it was called White Buffalo Woman Comes Singing.
Very I heard that's a really, really good book.
It is a good book. I have a number of different books by different Native American authors. And they're very interesting. I think totem animals are fascinating. I'm even wondering if just because I know it's not uncommon around here, but I've been having a raccoon lately pop in just to raid my trash when I haven't seen one in a long time, and I'm wondering if I'm supposed to be paying attention. If it's trying to tell me something. Or if it's just one of those things, a raccoon there getting into the trash.
I can look it up.
Because I know that if I was looking for the Ted Andrews book and I couldn't, and it sort of wanted to hide on me. I know it's here, I'm just not sure.
It says
which
that
place.
The keynote for a raccoon is dexterity in disguise, and their cycle of power is a summer and spring. It says that the raccoon is believed to come from the Algonquin Indian word acunem, meaning hand scratcher. The paws are very dexterous. Raccoons can be expert at opening lids, latches, doorknobs, and such. Because of this, they often have the reputation for thievery of being able to get into things they are not supposed to. It would not be surprising to find that individuals who are thieves and burglars have raccoon medicine, even though it is not used positively. Raccoons are fascinated by water. They like to slush their hands and their food in it, and this has given rise to the belief that they never eat anything without washing it first. Actually, water increases the sensitivity of the raccoon's hands, and they can feel their food better. The raccoon will eat almost anything available. It will capture small prey, but it usually eats mostly vegetables and fruit. This is something that those with this totem should also keep in mind. Raccoons are extremely curious, which is partly why they often get into things they shouldn't. They love to explore. Their nocturnal excursions can be likened to mini adventures. They can be very curious about new realms and will examine anything that fascinates them. One of the most striking features of the raccoon is the mask that it wears. Although some associate this with thievery, it actually gives the raccoon a very powerful mystical symbolism. The use of masks to achieve altered states and for other healing and ritual purposes has been a part of every society. Mask making is an ancient art employed all over the world for ceremony, celebration, and in magical practices. Concealed behind a mask, people could become something or someone else. We can become whatever we want by wearing masks. Masks are invested with mystery. They are tools for transformation. The hidden aspect, the secrecy, helps promote the transformation. It helps us to change what we are and what we want to be, giving us magic. Just as there is the raccoon, there is with raccoon with masks, there is ambiguity and equivocation. When we wear a mask, we are no longer who we thought. We make ourselves one with some other force. We create a doorway in the mind and the physical world, a threshold that we can cross to new dimensions and new beingness. This is the magic of raccoon. It is an expert at disguise and secrecy. It knows how to wear masks for a variety of purposes. It can teach you how to mask and disguise and transform yourself. Each must develop the relationship of the raccoon in their own unique way, but raccoon medicine can teach you how to become dexterous in the mask that you wear. It can show you how to wear a healing mask or show you the face that you shall become. The raccoon holds the knowledge of how to change our faces. That could really help you in the situation that you're going through now.
Yeah, I was looking myself. I found my book called Medicine Cards. Yeah, that goes with Medicine Cards, and there's a little poem that always goes with everything. Raccoon, protector of the underdog, provider for those who have none. Do you wear the bandit's mask to hide the good deeds that you've done? Teach me to turn away from rich rewards or worldly acclaim, knowing that my generosity allows my warrior spirit to reclaim. And they call it generous protector. Raccoon carries the medicine of the protector of the underdog and provider for the young, infirm, and elderly, often called Little Bandit, quote-unquote, by southern tribes. This Robin Hood of the animal kingdom teaches us about generosity and caring for others. When Raccoon comes your way, you being asked to contact your inner warrior to become a protector and generous provider for those in need. Raccoon medicine people have the uncanny ability to assist others without allowing them to become victims or dependents. Like the tribal chiefs of old, Raccoon tends to the needs of the tribe before taking anything for itself. A troop of raccoons scouting for food is often a hilarious exercise in generosity. After rolling in the cornmeal or flour, they finally settle on their favorite morsels, giving the best tidbits to their lookout. Raccoons leave a watcher behind when raiding a campsite or a mountain cabin, usually the dominant male. He is always fed first by the other raiders to honor his vigilance as the group's protector. This uncommon lack of greed is rare in the world of humans as it is in the rest of the animal world. While other creatures fight one another for the best of a kill, Raccoon teaches the universal law of giving back to the source of your strength, guidance, and protection. You're also reminded that benevolence and generosity come around full circle to reward the giver. If Raccoon wandered into your cards today, the Little Bandit may be telling you to look around and see who needs your strength at this time. Speak up in defense of another instead of remaining silent when others are gossiping. Maybe it is time to share the bounty of your time, energy, or possessions with the less fortunate. But remember to help those in need develop their own protector and provider skills. In all cases, Raccoon asks that you honor yourself and others equally. Provide for your own needs or your well will run dry when you choose to give generously. Chiefs earn their eagle feathers when they promote every human's right to self-dignity. Acting in this manner brings the same honor to yourself and to your family.
Wow, that's cool.
That sounds like me, doesn't it? Time to honor myself and take care of my needs.
Yep, you've honored the family long enough.
Honored the family, in some ways, yes. I mean, in some ways, I've realized that when I was talking with someone yesterday who did some healing for me, I call her Prem because I don't remember her first name, but she's co-hosted with me, and she's a very strong light worker. And we talked about when we were doing healing on myself as a child, one of the things that came up was about, I realized where my heart lies because, we all know I'm trying to save my house, but I think that I realize my heart lies in about three places. It still lies with this house, but it lies across the pond, too, and, it always will. And I realize that I've started standing up for myself, taking back my own power, and it feels good. And I think that I think this is for all those people out there that are floundering around and don't know what to do, stand up. Stand up in your own power. And don't let anyone take it from you. When you feel beaten down, remember you're still loved, that you have God, the angels, and your guides are all around you. And I always include the fairies because I think of them as earth angels. And we have a slow night. There's only one guest in the chat room and nobody's calling in. Oh, dear, we've killed them all off. I don't know what happened. But I had left a message for Prem, but I guess she's not going to join us tonight. But I think that I'm glad you picked the topic you did because I haven't been really dealing with my totems for a long time. Although I did notice today that I had a spider living in my house. Well, that's not unusual, but it just reminded me because that's my first totem that I have to remember my creativity. I keep forgetting.
I come to think of it, this morning when I was coming up from downstairs, I saw a spider on the wall, and I just kind of looked at him to make sure he wasn't a brown recluse because he wasn't terribly big, but for a spider out here, it's big.
Mm.
He was probably the size of a quarter. His body was very small, but his circumference was about the size of a quarter, and so I had to take a second look And today I saw lots of butterflies when I was hiking.
Okay, I'll let you continue. I've got to take this quick call.
Okay. So I'll just go on with...
Oh, dear. What am I doing?
Butterflies.
My computer's doing its own thing again. I didn't want that at all. That shut it up. Okay, go on. My drawer came out, and I shoved it back in on my computer, and there's a CD in there, and it started to play.
Oh, well, that's okay.
Yeah, we were going to get John McCutcheon. Oh, well, I don't know who called me. I tried to get them, but I figured it was one of those people that has popped into my life that always needs something from me that I'm getting tired of giving. I hope it wasn't a brown recluse. Those things are deadly.
Well, I don't think there's many of those out here. I think there are. They're everywhere. But, it says that the keynote for spider is creativity and weaving of fate.
Yeah.
So it says that the symbolism has been very similar wherever it is used. In India, it is associated with Maya, the weaver of illusion. It has its connections to the fates in Greek mythology and Norns in Scandinavian lore, women who would weave, measure, or cut the threads of life. To Native Americans, spider is grandmother, the link to the past and the future.
Again,
spiders have a...
Okay,
well, it says that the spider is the master weaver. To Native Americans, the grandmother spider kept and taught the mysteries of the past and how they were affecting the future. Spider reminds us to awaken our sensibilities to be more creative in life. Says that because it has eight legs, it is links to all the mysticism associated with the geometric form of the figure eight. On its side, this is the symbol of infinity. It is the wheel of life flowing from the circle to the one circle to the next. The difficulty is learning to walk those circles or even hold your position within the middle between the two. It says that spider teaches us to maintain a balance between past and future, physical and spiritual, male and female. Spider teaches you that everything you now do is weaving what you will encounter in the future. In the tarot deck is a card, the spider is known as the Wheel of Fortune in the tarot deck. This is a card that has to do with rhythms, the rise and fall, the flow and flux. It is linked to the energies of honor and fame and the sensitivities necessary to place ourselves within the rhythm of nature. Meditation upon this card would be beneficial for anyone with spider as totem. The spider awakens creative sensibilities. It weaves the web of intricate and subtle fabric as if to remind us that the past always subtly influences the present and future. So it says often the webs will take a spiral shape, the traditional form of creativity and development. The spider found within the web reminds us that we are the center of our own world. The ancient mystery schools had one precept inscribed above their portals, know thyself and thou shalt know the universe. Spider reminds us that the world is woven around us. We are the keepers and the writers of our own destiny, weaving it like a web by our thoughts, feelings, and actions.
Yeah, I noticed for me, I know I'm supposed to be doing my creative thing, and I'm not doing my writing lately or doing my jewelry, and I'm bad me. And when I first I know I have to do all this. When I got my first set of medicine cards, because I have two decks. I bought the second one because it was an expanded version. And when the first card I picked for a totem was the spider, and I was thinking to myself, you know, why spider? Because I'm an arachnophobe. Not as bad as some people, I suppose, but bad enough if a big one walked right in front of me, now I would be freaking. But I realized that what came into my head was because you need to learn to revere all life. I'm like, oh. Because I think I really don't like them. They're not attractive whatsoever.
I have a fear of them as well. I had, when I was really young, we went on a camp trip and we were floating down the river in southern Missouri, and my husband at the time steered us right into a big tree that was laying out over the water, and it must have had a spider web in it And so this big spider jumped in my hair. And it sent me into such a whirlwind of frenzy of fear that I almost tipped this over because I was so freaked out by the spider being in my hair. And I've never forgotten that. So I am also afraid of them.
Now, I know someone that actually likes them, but no, I don't. I am not a fan whatsoever. And I know that when you mentioned the brown recluse, those have that violin shape on them. And those are terribly deadly. I know someone that says we don't have them up here in Maine, but we do. Somebody got bitten by one once, and he didn't realize he was moving a church from another town to where I live. He got bitten. He finally got to the hospital, but it didn't help him any. And I know somebody else who was bitten by one, and she didn't make it either. I think that, I'm grateful for the totem. I'm grateful for what it symbolizes for me, but I just think they're disgusting to look at. No offense to spider lovers everywhere.
Well, it says this, that if the spider has come into your life, ask yourself some important questions. Are you not weaving your dreams and imaginings into reality? Are you not using your creative opportunities? Are you feeling closed in or stuck as if in a web? Do you need to pay attention to your balance and where you are walking in life? Are others out of balance around you? Do you need to write? Are you inspired to write or draw and not following through? Remember that spider is the keeper of knowledge of the primordial alphabet. Spider can teach how to use the written language with power and creativity so that your words weave a web around those who would read them. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I suddenly discovered I didn't, because my computer went funky there. I've got to go in and pull up the studio again. So far we have no one in the queue, but the call-in number again, if anybody's interested, is 646-721-9031. And Cheyenne, we'll let you start and give your information how people can contact you.
I can be reached by email at CheyenneRedFeather6@hotmail.com if you want to contact me by email. I do have PayPal, so I can receive payments through PayPal, and you just use the email address for that, and Starhawk Medicine is my business. So I can also be reached by phone at 720-763-6588. I can do email readings, phone readings, in-person readings if you live in Colorado, and I can best be reached by telephone at this time. I do oracle card readings. I do psychic readings. I can do readings of all different things, past lives, totem animal readings, angel readings. I am a medium. I can speak with people who have passed over. I can tell you who your totem animals are, your guides, who your spirit guides are. I can give you just a general reading if you like. Career, love life, all kinds of different kinds of readings there. I am also, I also do shamanic healing. I consider myself a shaman. I offer herb consultations as well. I can do medical intuitive readings where I can tell you what is going on inside of your body physically as well as emotionally and how that could be healed. I also, I do long distance healings as well as in-person healings. And I generally charge $200 for a medical intuitive reading or a reading where herbs are considered if you are into natural herbs. I offer alternative medicine. I make tinctures and lotions and such. And I also do make jewelry as well. And I offer my artwork also. I don't have... presently have it on the website, but I am Cheyenne Starhawk Enterprises LLC. That is my domain name, as well as my website. So I can be reached. I am best reached by email and by phone, however, at this time. Thanks.
Great. Sounds great. I know Cheyenne's really good. She's been working with me. We've been helping each other, so give her a shout out. Be worth your time and effort and all that. If you'd like a reading from Donnie, you can contact him at his phone number, which is 740-500-8863. You can also contact him on his website, which is psychicxjourneyman.com, I believe. He also works on Keen and Aranum. He does life coaching, relationship work. He does past life regression and past life readings. He does healing work. He'll work with email readings. He does if you want to get a group together, and you know, all gather around a computer, he'll work. You know, he can be there on Skype, because he does work on Skype as well. And if you want a reading from his girlfriend, April, her name is April Angel Love, I believe, or April Angel Medium. I've forgotten now. She hasn't been around in a little bit. So you can contact her. She's also on Skype. She has her own, it's April Angel Medium, I think, at yolasite.com or something like that. You can also reach her on Aranum or Keen. And if you would like a reading from me, I'm Spirit Wind the Messenger, so you can contact me at either 207-374-5072 or at spiritwindthemessenger@hotmail.com. All my readings are done for donations, and I take PayPal. I'll work within your budget. I do have a suggested donation of $20 for an email reading, which will not be limited to so many words. I give you what I get, and it could be lengthy. If I don't get much, then you won't get that. You won't get as much, but I'll give you everything I get. Bring your offer to the table and whatever it is, and I'll work within your budget. If you find that my suggestions are too high for you, I suggest for a 60-minute reading over the phone. I can do that I suggest a $60 donation, but I'll work with 20-minute time frames, 15 minutes. If you want something for 45, 75, 90, your choice. Like I said, I don't sugarcoat my readings. I give you exactly what I get. I don't want to tell you what I think you want to hear. I'll give you the truth, and like I said, I'll give you the best reading I possibly can. I do also do healing healing energy. Right now, I'm just doing things over the phone or via email. When my computer's better, I can work with you on Skype or MSN or Yahoo, but for now, those are my two venues. Eventually, when things get really sitting around in my life, people in my area are welcome to stop by my house. That call, of course, we'll set up a time. If you're interested in some jewelry, my business is Dreamweaver Designs. And for now, if you're interested and you'd like to see some pictures of what I can do, you can email me at my Spirit Wind email, and I'll send you some pictures. I make necklaces, bracelets, and earrings, and I use stone beads and a lot of silver, especially Hill Tribe silver from Thailand. I use beads like moss agate, ocean jasper, Picasso jasper, amethyst, rose quartz, smoky quartz, aquamarine, you name it. Whatever stone it is, I'm sure if I can get it, I can use it for you. And I use freshwater pearls in a lot of my things. If you're looking for a necklace, because I do necklaces, bracelets, and earrings, if you're looking for a necklace, just let me know. We can talk about the length you want, how many strands. We'll talk about the, you know, what stones you'd like, some idea of your design. If you're interested in chakra jewelry, I'm going to be getting into that, so that would be an interesting thing to do. And we'll discuss prices, and I take PayPal for that. I think that's it. And the call-in number again is 646-721-9031. And we do have a sponsor, Richard Palanger, who has Divine Body Wash. His website is divinebodywash.com. For anyone that donates $25 to help the show, he will give you a bottle of Divine Body Wash, which is an all-natural product. And if you are looking, if you donate $35 or more, you not only get the Divine Body Wash, but you get a bottle you got a body mist as well. So that's something to consider. And Donnie is still down with his migraine, so hopefully he'll be back soon. And hopefully somebody's going to call in tonight. It's very quiet, and there's only one guest in the chat room. Let's just get everybody
and
off
I may
tonight.
Have to get off of here. I may have to get off the telephone okay. because it's starting to rain and it's thundering.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, it's getting
really. I think
we're
going to have to close the show early tonight because nobody's showing up. I can sit here for 5 hours and none of my brain's out, but you know, I don't want to bore everybody to death. Like I said, we just have that one guest. So
well,
if anybody's
ask
out
them
there
if
listening,
they would like to call in and have a reading.
Okay. I'll check. I have to look and see what their name. Check them out thoroughly because I have small writing on here. Guests in the chat room, if you'd like to call in and have a reading, we'd be happy to read for you. They're just sitting there and no response. Well, it's certainly going to be a quiet night.
People are busy.
People are busy. It's well, we're coming up on the 4th of July. That and I was just looking tonight before trying to think of where to head everything, and I just picked up my book called Goddess Alive, inviting Celtic Norse goddesses into your life. And we've passed the summer solstice, so the next one is, I can't pronounce anything anymore, but we're coming up on the Andanu, the Irish mother goddess of wisdom. And I think a lot of us really could use some wisdom about now. Or at least exercise our own.
Yes, that's true.
I think a lot of people are out there. It's La La Land time.
Yeah, there are a lot of people out there that are still not living at the top of their game.
No. And yeah, that's the old. They don't. Their elevator doesn't go all the way to the top.
Well, they're living in the 3D world, not the 5D world, and in the fifth dimension, there are no worries. There are no need for anyone to be upset or angry or any of that. And the fifth dimension is about love and harmony. And so as we have moved into the fifth dimension, that occurred in 2007, I think, or something like that. And so the energies are lots higher now, and if you are resistant to raising your vibration, then you will have more difficult times, and all the worries and fears that you had previously will come right back at you because the universe is asking us to change. It's asking
right.
us to raise our vibration so that we can eliminate the worry and move more into love and harmony in our lives. And I know that for some of us, me included, it's not always an easy prospect to let go of things that have served us for so long, not realizing that they no longer serve a positive purpose. So it's difficult to see when that is happening.
Yeah, a lot of us, we get kind of stuck. And I noticed that when I had picked up the book and realized we were coming up into the time of midsummer, basically, I kind of like this. It's called Invocation to Danu. Goddess Danu, caring one, healing one, fertile one, giving one, hear my words and give them strength. Mother of the gods, three times three times three, you burst into the world. Show your fertile harvest and abundant nature upon me and my kith and kin. Land incarnate, rocks and soil, sod and soil, you use to protect and preserve. Wield your earthly magic and natural healing skills for me and my kith and kin. Waters of life, churning and frothing and bubbling forth, you stir rebellion and new life. Bring the truth of inspiration and wisdom to the surface of myself and my kith and kin. May my service unto you be forever swift and strong. May I live up to your generosity and tender actions. May I know the bliss and joy of your bountiful love. O sweet Danu, gracious Mother Divine, be with me now and honor me with your presence in my life.
Cool.
That seems very appropriate
cool.
for both of us.
Yes, definitely.
Exactly where we are right now. We need we need all the blessings we can get of Kith and Kin, and we need to be on top of our game, sharp and wise, stand in our power, and don't take anybody's guff.
Well, that requires a lot of grounding and balance. I mean, to be, aware like that all the time. And that would mean that you would have to be, one would have to be fully into the fifth dimension in order to have that awareness about them. But the thing about living in this dense plane of the 3D that we are still in physically, we know that we don't have to be here emotionally. We don't have to be here spiritually. We could be in the fifth dimension and still live on the 3D, in the 3D world, without a lot of confusion on our parts. And it's when we get caught up in the illusion that there's something wrong going on with us, whether it's physically or emotionally or you know, whatever, financially, if we are thinking that there is some kind of lack going on, that's when we need to sit down and discover what all of that means to us and discover the answer, to go into solution and let go of the problem. And I so often get caught up in that, the problem, and I forget about the solution.
That's the thing. We get caught up on our own, and we get fearful, and we think, you know, we look at all the negative as opposed to everything. We are divinely protected. We are going to be okay, even though we may be petrified, quaking in our boots, and we still have to remember that we do have divine source, whatever that means to somebody, creator, great spirit, God, all of that. We have that, and we have angels, and we have guides. I always include the fairies, of course. We have all that. We are not alone. But we get so fearful, and then we trip ourselves up, and we wind up exactly where we didn't want to be because we didn't pay attention. And we do go through our lives, and we don't pay attention to the signs right in front of us. And we need to do that. We need to be aware, because sometimes we see something and we just, you know, oh, that's just a, that's, you know, maybe it's, we just see an eagle, so we don't think anything about it. But for those of us, the light workers and others like that, we should pay attention. If we just all of a sudden, oh, there's an eagle flying around, well, it's probably a message for us. And we don't tend to think that way. It's just, oh, I
there
just saw an eagle.
There is a message in everything. It doesn't necessarily apply to just, it doesn't just apply to animals or insects or whatever. It's not just about totem animals. There's a message in everything that we encounter in our lives on a daily basis. There's always a symbol, a symbolic message for us. And if we are paying attention and we are seeing the symbology behind everything, then we will get all kinds of messages that will help us along our path. So, I mean, it's just about paying attention. And so much of the world is, society is based on the stigma of what is our government doing or not doing, and how is my neighbor, you know, what's going on with my neighbor? We're so outward focused that we forget to look inside for the answers. We are so outwardly focused on things outside of us, you know, and hence the need for psychics and mediums. And it's not a bad thing to ask for help or ask for advice, but if we get too focused on things outside of us, then we forget to go inside and find the answers there, because we all have the answers. And they all exist in our subconscious, and all we have to do is be able to tap into that, and everyone can tap into it. Anyone can tap into it. It's about how you are perceiving yourself, and so if you're in a place of lack and limitation, then you will not know how to get in touch with your inner voice. But if you tap into that through meditation and prayer work and quiet time, then you can receive the answers that you're looking for.
Oh, yeah.
It's just right there under the surface. You just have to get a little lower, a little deeper.
I found somebody, we have somebody new in chat, so I just asked if they'd like to call in for a reading. Everybody's quiet tonight. We still have our guests, and we have somebody else, and then my writing on my computer is so small that I'm looking at that and going, huh? I can read part of it, and then it's kind of like, what? And I guess everybody wants to just be quiet and listen tonight. If I read that right, SedMet or something like that, 129. If anybody out there would like to call in for a reading, we have two people besides our guests. If you'd like to call in for a reading, the phone number once again is 646-721-9031, and this is Dee sitting in for Donnie, and Cheyenne Starhawk is with me. And be happy to read for you if you have any questions, if there's anything you'd like to share. And so far, it's quiet as a mouse. But I do have company who might be. Do you have anything you'd like to add to the conversation, Eamon? I have my cat here who thinks he's going to be very comfy right now. He likes to get in the middle of things when I'm on the phone sometimes. I guess he has nothing to say. I think neutering probably helped keep him a little more quiet. Since he's prone to be vocal, I guess we're going to be, it's going to be a silent night. Oh, that was a bad pun. Merry Christmas, everybody. I don't know. Yeah, that was not intended. I guess the people are just going to sit there in the chat room. Oh. If anyone would like a reading, please feel free to call in at 646-721-9031. We would love to hear from you. Ah, we do have somebody. Oh. We have 501. Hello. 501.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hey. I just called in to listen to the show, but
oh, okay.
Good to talk to you.
That's nice to talk to you, too. If you have anything, say hello to Cheyenne.
Hello. How are you, Cheyenne?
I'm good. How are you? Would you like for us to give you a reading? Do you have any questions, things you're curious about?
Not really. I'm actually, like, here for the past couple of weeks, I've been just trying to learn more about my own intuition. And I'm actually a very spiritual person. I go to church a lot. I pray a lot. I'm very in tune, you know, with God and the Holy Ghost. But just as far as tapping into my sixth sense, you know, I've just been doing some research on that and listening to different shows and things like that. So,
What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Michelle, and I'm calling from Arkansas.
Oh, Arkansas.
Oh, where are you from in Arkansas? Where do you live?
Romance.
Oh, wow. That's, I don't even know where that is.
I know I don't.
Do you know
I had a friend in Arkansas, but I don't remember where she lived.
Do you know where Heber Springs is?
I used to live in southwest Missouri, right on the Arkansas border. So that would be northern Arkansas, probably.
Okay. We're about 2 hours and 45 minutes from Branson.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. So you're not too far away, though.
Not
100
too
miles
far,
or so. Yeah. Cool. Well, welcome.
Yeah, so it's nice to hear from you. And it's good that you want to know more and that you're looking into your intuition. Because I think a lot of times you instinctively know something, but you sort of second-guess yourself?
Yeah, you're probably right. I probably get a lot of stuff downloaded, and I'm like, did I really hear that? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's like somebody told me once, became a very close, one of my best friends, another medium, she told me, always go with your first impression, never your second or your third, and never second-guess yourself. I think you second guess yourself too often, because you know things and you know that your gut tells you one thing and you think, nah, that's probably not right, when it probably is right.
Okay.
Sometimes I think
I
know
do.
That.
Yeah, maybe sometimes I do, but a lot of times I don't.
Yeah. No, you're quite in tune. Somebody's making up. Sounds like wind blowing.
Yeah, that's probably here.
I was thinking it might be Cheyenne. She's
what,
out in
you, what were you saying, Michelle?
I walked by a fan. I just walked into another room, so it would be a little bit quieter.
Oh. Okay.
I believe that you are very, very gifted, and that what Dee was talking about, the second impressions, when you get the first impression, that's your spirit speaking to you. And when you get the second and third impressions, that's kind of the ego creeping in there to try to pass some kind of judgment or give you a negative spin on things. That's the ego is what keeps us from believing in ourselves in the first place. And it'll often come in and go, what? And, you know, it'll help. It makes us question ourselves. But when we listen to spirit, spirit always gives us the right guidance. And like you said, you get things downloaded to you and then you're going, huh? And so what I did, I was given a lot of guidance to write things down. So I have in my early days, I have notebooks filled with guidance in them. And so I write them all down, whatever I'm given as far as guidance. And then I go back a few hours later and I read them. And you would be surprised how much sense they make. And it's usually about just things that we need to change, things we need to do with ourselves, things we need to do in our lives, because you're very gifted. And your abilities far exceed your present awareness of them. And so go ahead.
I'm just saying probably so, because like I said, I'm just now learning more about that and how to tap into it, you know, just maybe the past week and a half to 2 weeks. So,
oh wow,
and listening
that's
to
very
it.
New.
So yeah.
What is your sign?
A Leo.
Okay. Yes, Leos are very gifted. I have a Leo in my family. My daughter is a Leo, and she's very, very gifted. But she gets caught up in herself as far as not believing what she's being given. But yeah. The area that you live in has a vortex in it. I don't know if you know what a vortex is, but a vortex is a doorway of energy into other dimensions. So you said you live where? What is the name of the city that you live in?
Romance?
Is that what you said, Romance?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so it's a very unique name. Right along the highway that goes through town, as you are coming into the city from the north, right at, there's a little, in this little town, there's a doorway right as you enter the city to your right, there's a vortex that's right there. And if you go stand in the vortex energy, it makes you feel really good. Will make you feel lighter. It will make you feel like you're floating, but even though you aren't really doing anything, it'll make you feel like you're floating, so it'll make your energy lighter and it'll bring your vibration up. So I get that, because what I'm being shown is that there are some trees. There are a line of trees that go into the town. And this is a small town, correct?
Yes, it's a small town.
Okay, so right as you're going into this little town from the north, there's a line of trees. There's probably four or five trees right there alongside the road that are all lined up. And right as that last tree is right there at the last tree, there's a doorway, and it's called a vortex. It's a doorway of energy, and it goes into another dimension. And if you stand right there at that last tree, just stand there, you'll feel the energy. It feels really comfortable and really light. And so it will help you with your vibration. It'll help you to feel lighter. And when you feel lighter, you can tap into your intuition better. And the lighter you feel, and it requires some grounding. Like, do you meditate?
Yeah, see, that's, I'm just starting to try that out. I'm just starting to do that. But, you know, what was really awesome is we were at Silver Dollar City this weekend, and, you know, just riding all those rides and those roller coasters and how light they make you feel, you know, it just felt like my spirit was soaring. So I kind of know what you mean.
Cool. I've been to Branson long, long, long time ago. Back in the 70s, I went to Branson. And it is really nice there. And I like all the crafting people that do all kinds of glass blowing and all their different things that they do. Do they still do that there?
Yeah. We watched a glass show yesterday of a guy making, I really don't know what he was making. We didn't watch the whole thing. I think he was making a vase, but it is. It's really cool. It's really nice. We love bringing our children up there, and they have a blast. So.
Cool. Yeah, it is really unique to watch people do their craft, and I think they had some weavers there then, and they had some people who are making butter and cream and stuff like that. They were using the churn, and it's just like a broomstick in a round thing, and they just tap it, and it turns to butter. So I think that's a pretty cool way of creating something simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really neat. It's like a whole other world up there. So. It's
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, it is.
Good fun.
But yeah, I think that you are being called to do more in the realm of spirituality, and you're being called to do a lot of different things. Along the way, you'll discover that you have a healing talent, and you'll be given a lot of direction psychically or you have the clairvoyance or the clairaudience gift if you're hearing guidance at from just opening up for a week and a half. That's an amazing thing. Getting grounded, it will be really important. Meditation will help you with grounding, but if you just sit out on the planet, just sit out on the ground and absorb the energy, you could bring the energy up. In meditation, they teach you how to run energy in your body. And so if when you start your meditation, if you'll just imagine energy coming up from the planet, if you go sit outside every morning and just allow the energy from the planet to run up through your feet and up through the crown of your head, out and back around, and just kind of circulate that in your aura, it's really simple. All you have to do is visualize it in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're already very visual. So if you'll just visualize that energy just, you know, running through you, that'll help ground you better. And then your messages will get clearer and more concise, and you'll actually receive, like, it took me a while, but I learned how to channel that energy for healing work, because I do healing work. So when you do that and you make yourself a vessel, you can actually heal that person, and then you don't take, when you're the vessel, you don't take on their pain, you don't take on their energy, and you can channel it back into the earth. And it's a really big gift, and you can help a lot of people, but you do have your own gift. And if you took some classes, like a Reiki class, to teach you how to channel your energy and how to run your energy better, it would help you to acquire a better understanding of what your body is capable of as an energy center and as a spiritual center. So it's really important that you would do something like that. But you don't need, unless you feel called to do it, all three levels, you don't need to actually do that. You have your own unique healing ability that is unique unto you.
Okay.
So all you need to do is learn how to run that energy, channel that energy through you, and it'll be mind-blowing.
Okay, awesome. I'll keep all that in mind. Let's see, you said something about questions. Okay, let me ask you this question. We're trying to sell our house to move closer to our church.
Uh-huh.
And we've been trying to sell it for a while, but my son goes to school there, and my daughter will start school there next year. and it's 55 minutes away. So we've been going there. My husband's went there a lot longer than I have. I've been going for the past almost 6 years now to that church.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, our kids go to school there. It's just a long drive. It's like 4 hours on the road every day during the school year just to bring him back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So do you see anything about that? Do you have anything about that?
I've got this woman in the chat room that I've been going back and forth with, so I got a little bit lost there. But
okay.
I do think that somehow when she talked about selling the house, I was flashing into it. Which channel is? I guess it's 43, the channel on that talks of where people try to sell their homes or looking for homes and all that sort of thing, and was wondering if maybe the reason that it hadn't sold was. Have you had a lot of people that have shown any kind of interest?
Yeah, we did. We did when we first put it on the market, but now we think we were probably asking too much at the time. So now we've lowered our price, and we've done some remodels. So we're just now putting it back on the market.
Okay.
I think I think you've made a step in the right direction, because a lot of times people walk into a house, apparently, because because I've watched that channel. I used to watch it a lot for a while. And they have these shows where people go in and fix up a house because it looks outdated. And because a lot of times people that are buying a house, they don't have the vision to see, they see what's right there in front of them. They don't have the vision to see it as it could be. They don't always see the potential.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've made a lot of the right steps by, you've lowered the price a little bit, but you've also done some remodeling, and I think that's gonna go a long way toward getting it sold.
All right, awesome.
I also see a little bit different. One thing I got is a question to ask you is, have you completely let go of that house and started looking for another house that you would like to live in?
Yeah, we haven't looked a whole lot because we know we actually have to sell this one before we buy another one.
Well, what I'm saying is that when you let go of it emotionally. You can do this in prayer. You can make statements to the effect of we're now releasing this house so that it can be sold and try to give yourself a time frame that you would like to move from that house into a new house, and then going out and looking, because you're looking at the energy of the universe. When you allow the universe to work for you in a positive way, when you allow God originally into your life, you knew that your life would be changing, correct?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And so it's changing and changing and changing, and you're growing and you're opening up to your gifts and stuff like that. So as you allow the universe to come in and work for you, as you allow God through prayer to manifest the things that you truly desire in your life, there's an energy around it, just like there's an energy around all of us. So this energy can be positive or negative, and you've done a lot of repairs and a lot of upgrades to your house, and so now you're going to put it back on the market. So you want to bring the energy of people. You imagine the people in your mind. You imagine the people that you would like to see buy your house, okay? So you're putting the energy out there of who you would like to have buy your house. And as you do that, you also go and look for a place in that area where you want to move, and you look for this place, and you just keep your, because you're making the energy of someone coming in to buy the house so that you need to have a place to go to prior to selling your house. So if you have a place in mind that you would like to go and look at, you go and you look at it. So you bring in the energy of this new house into your life. And you know that you have let go completely and emotionally and physically to this house that you presently live in. And in doing so, when you're going to go look for the new house, you're bringing the energy of purchasing that house into your life. So what you're doing is you're putting an ending to the old and a new spin on the beginning of your new place. So if you go about it.
There goes the old saying.
What?
Out with the old, in with the new.
Yes. So you want to bring the energy of the new into your life, so you have to go look for a place. Even though you don't have the money right now, you know that the universe is going to manifest this money through the purchase of your home that you presently live in, through somebody coming in. So start visualizing what people you would like to see buy this house. And start visualizing them being really happy with the environment that you're in, the environment that they're coming in to look at your house. You want that everything to look really nice. You want to keep it clean, as clean as you possibly can, so when they come to visit, they see pristine, everything is pristine. And so you want it to you want it to be a high vibration, so you want the people that come into your life to be of that vibration. You want them to be happy people. Just start visualizing how you would like to see them come into your life and how you would like to see that happen, occur for you. And so then you're taking that energy, that happiness, that joy that you feel about living in your new home with you, and it's like a cycle. You know, it's like a big cycle, a big circle. You're bringing in the happy people, and you're happy to go and be in your new place. And so that's a big cycle for you. And it can be a very positive cycle. It could also make your house sell really fast. So you want to make sure you have a place to go.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're right on.
Yeah, she absolutely is.
Definitely. I appreciate your advice. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
I think maybe the problem is maybe my husband hasn't let go yet. Like, he wants to sell it because, you know, he's tired of spending all the gas money to bring, you know, that we spend to bring my son back and forth to school and to go to church. But the deal is, him and I have been married for 5 years, and this was his house. I moved in with him when we got married. So this has been his house since, like, and he's 18 years older than I am. So this has been his house ever since his grown children were about 10 years old. So
he really is attached to the house.
Yeah, probably. I mean, he's like, we're in agreement on selling it, but emotionally he's probably not ready to let it go.
Well, until he's ready to let go, the house won't go anywhere. You'll be there. So maybe encouraging him to go look for a house that is similar to what you live in but not identical, just get him motivated to go look for another house, and maybe that'll help him to let go more.
Okay.
You know, or maybe asking him, you know, what is it about this house that you really like that maybe we could find in another house? You know, you kind of have to motivate him in a different direction.
He's done a lot of work here. Like, I've seen pictures of this land before. He put the house on this land. He's done a lot of landscaping and land work, and it's a beautiful place. It's 11 acres and a 2,400 square foot home, and he's done a lot of brickwork. He's been
invested interest.
So, I mean, it's absolutely a beautiful place, but it's 30 minutes from any town. Like Romance, all it is a post office. It has a post office, so you could call it a town, but That's all that's here, and it's like it's on a state highway. It's off of Highway 5, but it's like 30 minutes from any town. I mean, there's a store, you know, like a gas station within 10 miles. But as far as a retail store, we're 30 minutes from any town. So I think that's another reason we're having our problem selling it, is because somebody would have to want to live way out in the country, you know.
Well, just know that there's somebody out there that wants that. You know, just know that there's somebody out there, and they may not even be from the state of Arkansas. They may be passing through and see it and go, oh my God, this big house is here with all this property, and I wonder if it's for sale, you know. And so it could be somebody passing through that could want it. So just keep your mind open and your heart open to the, and know that there is someone out there, or maybe more than one person, who is interested.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we got signs out there. We just recently, about a week ago, put them back up. So
just know that there's somebody there that will be interested in your house and your property. I mean, 11 acres and a 2,400 square foot house, that's amazing in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
I understand, because little towns in Arkansas and southern Missouri are like that. They're just in the middle of nowhere. I grew up in a little town in southwest Missouri called Pomona, and it had that ours was a post office, gas station, grocery store combination, and a truck stop, and that was it. You know, I can relate. So,
yeah.
And it was in the middle. My father bought a couple of acres and put a prefab house on it. And when my mom got ready to sell it after my father passed away, it went like that. And it was
awesome.
In the middle of nowhere. You know, so don't think that it's not possible.
No, I don't. What I think is it's just all going to be in God's time. And I just, you know, I know we can't get ahead of him, and I know we can't get behind him. So I think it'll happen when it's supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's like, oh, when's this going to happen, you know? You pray about it for so long, and it still hasn't happened. So
just
sometimes
keep
you
faith.
Get discouraged, but you always keep the faith.
Yes, you have to keep the faith.
Exactly.
That's most important with spirit. It's most important to keep the faith with him. So he's working behind the scenes to help everything to happen. And he's getting the perfect family for you to sell the house to, you know. So just keep going. I mean, I see, okay, so what I'm being given for guidance about time frames is between now and the end of the year.
Awesome.
So just keep, you know, thinking that your deadline is December 31st. You know, so just know that there's a perfect family.
December 31st. Go in there and be bold about it.
Say that again?
I said, just go in there and say, God, I want this house sold by December 31st. And just go in there before the throne of grace and be bold about it.
And, well, oftentimes if we give the universe a deadline, they will follow through much before the deadline. So, I mean, God, it's okay for you to give God a deadline. It's okay for you to tell him what you want. It's okay for you to put your heart's desires out there. Because one thing I learned about heart's desires that if it is our heart's desire that we sell this house or this car or whatever it is we're trying to sell, and the universe, that God knows that this is our heart's desire, he will make it manifest much quicker than we could do than just waiting.
I believe that.
Yeah. Sometimes we have to get in there, and he listens to everything. So it's not a matter of you telling God what's best for you, but it's a matter of you being assertive in the way that you handle your prayer time, you know. And you're doing, as long as you're doing the footwork in your own life and you're doing everything to create happiness for your family and for yourself, God will give you whatever it is you truly desire.
I believe that. I believe that.
I mean,
100%.
I've manifested a lot of things just by believing
point,
that.
You know? Yeah, he's done it up to this point. You know, he's always been faithful. And so I've been through so much, you know, even a near-death experience, you know, where actually I almost did die for a little bit. But up until this point, you know, even when I wasn't living for God, he was still right there with me. So I have all faith in him.
Yeah, he's there for us whether we're there for him or not. He's always available. He's all-inclusive. He doesn't ever say no. And if it doesn't happen, then it's not meant to happen. But it doesn't mean that he's telling us no. It just means that we have to go a different direction. Like, I believe that everything in life, that there's a way around everything in life. So if something is blocking me from accomplishing something in my life, I need to sit down and rethink the proposition and maybe change some behavior of my own or let go of something that isn't serving me. And then the block is removed and I can move forward. So it's not about it, you know, oftentimes we give up thinking it's not meant for us to have that. But it may not be meant for us to have it at that moment, but it doesn't mean that it won't happen.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying.
So just keep the faith and just keep moving forward and keep doing everything that you're doing. Everything is working. All you're being asked to do, Spirit is just asking you now to enlighten yourself and enliven, broaden your perspective of who you are in this on this planet. And And so your gifts are being brought forward. What? How old are you?
33.
Okay, so it's time for you to wake up. So the near-death experience was a wake-up call for you to do something different.
Yeah, that happened, though. That happened when I was 18. That happened a long time ago.
Well, it doesn't matter when it happened, but you are being asked to wake up so that you can experience your truth in a whole different manner. And you're
okay.
being asked to think outside the box of what you believe about yourself.
What do you mean by that?
Come in. Well, you're being asked to think outside the box. So I want to use just an example here of my own example. I grew up Southern Baptist, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I was raised in the faith. And I believed all the things that I was given inside that faith as my truth. Well, when I was about 20 years ago, I had a near-death experience where I was in an auto accident and I broke my back. So I was given, essentially, I consider that a second chance. So along with the second chance I was given the gift of sobriety. And I've been sober for 13 years now. And in that gift, I was asked to change my point of view about how I viewed spirit. I call it God spirit. So I was asked to change my point of view of how I viewed my higher power. So I was like, okay, what does that look like? So I learned that God is not a punishing God. God is a loving God.
Yes.
And I needed to see that God was a loving God, not a punishing God, because of how I grew up. I grew up in a very dysfunctional family. So through that dysfunction, my mother and father taught me that God was a punishing God, that God would strike me dead if I tried to live outside the box or outside the box of their way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got sober, I was asked to live outside the box. In the way of my relationship with God. It didn't happen right away because I'm pretty stubborn. So about 6 years of sobriety came to my life, and I knew that I was really miserable, and I could not live with my version of who God was to me anymore. I needed to think outside the box. So I was asked to change my point of view about who God is to me. And so I decided that I would. So I embarked upon in the 12-step program that I am affiliated with. They teach you prayer and meditation. Well, I only knew how to pray a certain way, and that was pleading and begging with God. But this way was for me to have a relationship with God in the same way that I have a relationship with another person. So I was asked to let go of my version of God and adapt the version of the loving God. So I started doing that. I started talking to God like I'm talking to you. And today I have those kinds of conversations with God. And I learned that I can be assertive with God, and God will respect me even more for saying, this is what I truly desire. This is my heart's desire. Would you please give this to me because it means so much to me? So God gave me the gift of sobriety. So now and at 6 years of sobriety, I embarked upon my healing path, where I worked on myself extensively for the last 7 or 8 years, every day. I didn't let up because I didn't want to be messed up anymore. I didn't want to think the way my parents thought. I wanted to have my own way of thinking, so I did that. So I started changing my habits and started changing the way I thought and started doing more meditation and started reading spiritual books, started talking to people who were spiritual, started hanging out with them, and lo and behold, I love myself today. It's taken 7 years, but I love myself, and I love my God is a loving God now. My God is always available to me, never leaves me, always is right there. My God is within. My God isn't on the throne in another place. My God is here with me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've adapted this new design for living, which is from my 12-step group. But that was just a foundation base. I was guided away from the program 7 years ago, and I was really afraid because it was my rock, you know. But I did follow the direction. I got a direct message from God that said, follow me. And so I have learned to love myself on this new journey, and my gifts opened up when I decided that I needed to follow God in a different way. So okay. I use God as guidance, and I have all these gifts today, and I don't question anymore. I just follow direction, and it's always beautiful. So you're just being asked to think outside the box with reference to your gifts. It doesn't mean you have to leave your religion behind or you have to leave your spiritual path behind. It just means that you're going to expand upon it. You're going to open it up in a little broader aspect so that you can understand more of who you are and what your truth is.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even raised in church at all, so I didn't really even get to know anything about the Lord until I was grown. So, and by the near-death experience, well, what I went through was I had an ectopic pregnancy, and the baby, one hospital told me I was just having a miscarriage, so I went back home, and I was in pain for a couple of weeks, went back to the hospital, and then they did an ultrasound. They said, well, you got an ectopic pregnancy. And so at that time, I guess my tube hadn't been ruptured yet, but the next morning when they did surgery, he went in there with a laparoscopy, and he said my abdomen, my belly was just full of blood because the baby had grown so big inside of my tube that it had busted my fallopian tube open. And, so then they had to do a C-section cut, and then they had to take that fallopian tube, the baby out and all that, and I had to have a blood transfusion and because my whole body was shutting down. And that doctor told me when I went back for my checkup after I'd been in the hospital and gotten out for several days and went back for my checkup, he said, you only have one fallopian tube, and on the side that you have that fallopian tube, your ovary has a cyst on it. He said, you'll never have kids. And so that bothered me for about 5 months until I found out I was pregnant, and I prayed to God about that, and now I have three beautiful children. And he said,
Wow, awesome. That's definitely a gift.
But, you know, I do believe in the Holy Spirit. I know God lives inside of us. He gives us his Holy Spirit. He comes inside of us to live. So I know Baptists, they don't believe in the Holy Spirit because when I was married to my first husband, he was a Baptist, and they didn't believe in that. But
the must not have been the American Baptist.
I wouldn't say religious. I would say relationship. I have a very close relationship with the Lord. I pray a lot and journal, you know, write letters to God a lot, you know, and talk to Jesus all the time. And I'm just really more interested in finding more out about the angels. And that's probably what drew me to y'all's show.
Cool.
We've got people in the chat room and somebody we've got people online and somebody in the chat room that's been waiting for me to answer her.
Okay, well, I'll let you ladies go. Thank you so much for speaking with me, and y'all have a wonderful week.
You too.
Oh, you too. Take care. You're welcome.
Take care. We've got about, I think we have time that the show will continue for a bit after the, I mean, we can still answer people, but somebody in the chat room, if I've got her correctly, she said she couldn't call in, but she was having a problem. Apparently, something happened at the gym for her, and if I read her correctly, she was having a problem where somebody basically took from her. She was supposed to get a bicycle, and somehow things didn't work out, and she got upset, and she got emotional, she said, but not abusive. And she says now they want the staff and everybody and her to apologize, but she said she felt abused and not heard, and she didn't know whether she should stay or she should leave. I think I've got her correct. She wrote so much stuff that it's going through all that. She'd been waiting for so long and afraid she wasn't going to get a bicycle. If I haven't got you right, could you please correct me? Because it seems like she's just had just one of those, I think there was a lot of misunderstanding going on.
Yeah, it does sound like there's a lot of misunderstanding going on. So it is about her being comfortable there that is most important. And I believe that the decision would be hers, but I really feel that there has been a lot of misunderstanding, and I kind of believe, I'm kind of getting that maybe she misunderstood the person And they were doing everything they could to get her what she was looking for. But the person who took the bicycle that was intended for her was a bit on the rude side. So,
yeah, I agree.
There's a lot of miscommunication between the people who run the gym and the person who took the bicycle. And they're choosing to believe something from the other person rather than believing her. And I don't really see it as a case of abuse more than it is of them neglecting to get their communication across to her properly. And so there's a lack of communication there.
Right. Because apparently she was told to stand on the end of the line, and then she said she got emotional. She's planning on moving, going to another gym at some point, but right now this is pretty much what she has, and she's upset. She doesn't know what to do, but it sounds to me like it's just a lot, like you said, it's miscommunication on both sides. And she just,
Feel like if she puts her foot down with the people there, the people who run the gym, and say that she should be the one who should be apologized to, and if she would just apologize for her being emotional, that it would rectify everything.
I think so.
They owe her an apology in the same way that they expect her to apologize. So since there was this misunderstanding, maybe she could ask for clarification of what that person meant to her when they told her she would get the next bicycle. And this is also about her standing in her power and not allowing others to abuse her, because what is happening is that she has allowed this to happen, and so now the universe is calling for her to stand in her power and do the right thing by herself or for herself.
Exactly. I hope that helps, because we do have another caller, and she seems to be listening, so I hope we helped her, because I think a lot of it is, you know, that's that wounded pride, in a sense.
Yeah.
She feels wrong, so, because when we feel wrong, we get defensive sometimes. And no, I'm not going to apologize. Somebody did me wrong. But sometimes if we just sort of stand back a little bit and realize that, you know, it was a little bit off. Maybe they were more at fault than we were, but somewhere in there was something we did or said that we could have done differently.
Well, if we correct our part, all the rest works out, and then everyone apologizes. And if she doesn't get an apology, I would go to the supervisor and say, this person promised me this, and so now I expect them to apologize for them not giving me what they told me they would give me. So it's about us standing up and getting what we deserve, just like just like what we expect from them, they also expect the same from us. And when we clear up our side of the street, everything works out.
Right, because from what she wrote, the gym was asking both sides to apologize, and she says she doesn't feel comfortable apologizing. And I think that she didn't say, so I'm not really certain, but I get the impression that it's not just her that doesn't want to apologize. I don't think the other side wants to apologize either. I think the woman was having a very off day.
If it's a lose-lose situation, then the best thing for her to do is to take her leave. If there was a solution, the solution is to be accountable for your actions. To hold yourself accountable for your actions and let go, it's about forgiveness. So you let go of what is happening around you and forgive yourself for putting yourself through that, and then forgive the others for what they helped create. Then apology will be automatic, and you will know what you're apologizing for, and then you state that very directly to them. And then they will apologize and all will be okay. But sometimes we have to be the bigger person and stand up and say, okay, this is what needs to happen in order for us to come to an amicable agreement.
Right.
I mean, we're only responsible for ourselves, not for others.
Exactly.
And if we're not capable of being responsible for ourselves, then we're going to be a victim, always. We're going to feel abused.
Right, and I think everybody – I think it was an off time for everybody. I think the woman that she's upset at was having an off day, and I think somehow she took it out on this woman, and therefore, between the two of them, they butted heads.
And well, then, so the...
Yeah.
But the gym was just as responsible because it set that up to happen.
Right.
By not following through with what they were promising to the person.
Exactly.
So all parties are responsible for themselves.
Indeed they are. And
if they don't apologize, then it's time to go someplace else. And sometimes those things happen to show us we don't belong there.
How true. I think we've pretty much covered her. We've got a caller from 416 and a few minutes left, so let's see where 416 is.
Hi, it's Kimberly.
Oh,
hi,
Kim.
Kimberly. Kimberly here.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I was just calling to ask about love.
Ah, love.
Coming my way.
Hmm. Always sounds good, doesn't it? Kimberly. I know you, but I can't quite place you at the moment. I'm terrible tonight.
Oh, I don't know if I know you or you know me.
Kimberly,
where are
you called in the show before?
I don't think so.
Okay. I just... Oh,
maybe.
Okay.
I don't think so. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Where are you calling from?
Toronto.
Oh, Toronto.
Oh, wow.
Ah.
Cool.
Yeah.
You're looking for the... Mr. Wright. I hear you. Because you're not currently in a relationship.
No.
No. You have any thoughts, Cheyenne? Because at the moment, I see
that there will be someone coming into your life by, like, October, around, like, the mid to the end of October, between the 15th and the 31st, there'll be someone that'll show up. It'll be somebody that you'll meet there. Do you go to Halloween parties and stuff like that?
No.
Do you guys celebrate Halloween there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Really do.
But I see that he's coming from some kind of party. That's why I said Halloween party, because it's right around that time. But you'll meet him at some kind of party where you'll get invited to some kind of barbecue or some kind of party of some sort, and he will be there. And at first glance, you will shrug him off. And then there will be something that will be said in passing in the group where he'll be in this little group of people, this little cove of people at the party. And then he will make some statement and you will blow it off. And then later on you will go, maybe I shouldn't, you know. So it'll be kind of a disbelief type situation where you will not believe what is being said to you, and then you will have to question it later. But the two of you will get together through a friend who will be at that party, and because he will be very intrigued with you, and he will want to know more.
Okay.
Because he's accustomed to people being enthralled with him, and you will not be. And so he'll be very curious to get to know you, that person who just blew him off. And he will want to try to get closer to you.
Okay.
So, but there will be lots of skepticism on your part in this relationship in the beginning. But it will grow into something really beautiful. You also will have to do a lot of growth. There'll have to be a lot of growth on your part in order to make this relationship happen.
Okay.
A lot of acceptance.
Okay. Great.
Is there anything else
I
am curious about?
Well, work. Am I going to get work soon?
Okay. What do you have
I
to
wanna
eat?
Say, I want to say for some reason August.
Okay.
Have you been putting your resume out there?
Yeah.
I think that you put it out in a place where the one place that you really want the most,
mm-hmm.
there is a job that you're really looking for, if I'm not mistaken. There's a company or whatever that you really want to work for. And I think you put your resume out there. So what you have to do is just keep that positive faith going.
Yes. Okay.
Because I do believe that you they're going to read your resume and they're really going to be very interested in you.
Okay. So it is already out there. That was one thing I wondered. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm not sure where you. I know you put it out in at least three or four places.
Yeah, more than that, actually. But
more than that. I knew it was at least that many. Well,
yeah.
I think you put it out. There's one place in particular that you've been really focused on the most.
You know, there was one I did not get the job, so I'm not sure, but there were quite a few.
But I just got the impression that there was one place you put out your resume that you would really like to work for, someplace.
There was
really
one, and they hired somebody else. That I really wanted that one.
What do you do for a living?
Oh, well, these were, the one I really wanted was a work from home writing, editing. It's a new business resource bank they were building online. I wanted that one.
Okay, so I do see that you can get something online, but I see it here in the States. I don't see it there.
Yeah, it was in the States, but I work from home.
Oh, okay.
That one was, yeah.
There is one that you have yet to find.
Okay.
That will be coming up real soon, the next couple of weeks. It'll be like, it'll start out as like a curiosity thing.
Okay.
But it will evolve into something, and you will get that position, but I get that you're going to have a choice to make. Like, there is more than one that's in the works. Like you said, there is another one that you have already put your application in for, but you haven't heard anything back from. But I really get that there are two. You'll have a choice.
Okay.
And it'll really be up to you. And all I can say is that you should really research these companies. And I believe that they're both work from home, because you have other things going on right now that you need to pay attention to there, so that's preventing you from, like, going out to a job and going to work at a place. So, but as you get this, after you get this job, the things at home will calm down.
Okay.
Whatever is going on with you presently at your house or wherever you live, those things will calm down. But you'll have an opportunity to have a choice. And both places, one will be a higher paying job than the other. But it's really not, I don't really think that it's about the money for you. I really feel that it's more about working for a company that is responsible.
Yeah, okay.
Responsible for their employees and stuff. So you'll
okay.
have a choice.
Awesome. There was a company, or there is a company in Florida that I had approached to work from home, doing coaching
mm-hmm.
and things with employees. Now that kind of fell to the wayside. Is that coming back alive?
It could, but I don't see that it would be profitable for you. Do you coach?
Yeah, I do.
What kind of coaching do you do?
It's actually spiritual coaching, bringing spirit into the everyday. And now that one, I'd written a coaching curriculum for their clients, weight loss clients, and I had wanted to do more with that company.
Okay, you could do more. You could do so much with that. I mean,
I am working on my own business, but I need a job in the meantime as I get my work out.
Okay.
Yeah. So the time has been
pushed back. Pardon me for interrupting, but we're just about to end the show, but we can still talk to this caller.
Oh.
So I
just want to let everybody.
Random.
What?
I got
Oranum
for you.
A what?
Oranum. It's Oranum. Oranum. It's a psychic network, but they do all kinds of coaching and stuff on there.
Oh, well, I'll take a peek.
a friend of mine told me that she knows somebody on a random, because I'm hooked up with them as well. I haven't began yet. But she told me, a friend of mine told me about a person who makes like $800 or $900 a month just doing those calls.
Okay. Yeah, because I work with people on overcoming challenges, but you work from within.
Yeah.
With
spirit
guidance. That's what I do that I love the most. Yeah.
You're good at what you do.
Thank you. Yeah, and I do, I am setting up my programs and things, but, you know, I need a job in the meantime while things get rolling.
Right.
So that's why I was asking. Yeah. But it sounds
it's all coming. It's just going to take a little while. And
Well, I can manage that.
I think it's something about if you could, like, meditate on what you would like to see happen, and the universe will deliver it to you.
Yeah.
And it will only take a couple of months for it to come into play. I see, like, mid-August.
Okay,
so,
that's
couple months.
Yeah, thank you on both counts.
You're welcome.
You're more than welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're going to do very well.
Have a good night.
Oh, good. Thank you. That's good to hear.
Have a good night.
Thank
good
you.
Night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I haven't heard from the woman in
a little while.
I think we have run out of, well, we still have recording time left, but there's no, you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I heard something click. Oh, okay. That's because she hung up the phone. I think, why don't you put out your information again on how people can contact you?
Yes. You can contact Cheyenne Starhawk at CheyenneRedFeather6@hotmail.com. That is my personal email address. And I can also be contacted by phone at 720-763-6588. And I also have a website, Beacon of Light Healing at webs.com. You can contact me on there. The best way to reach me is by telephone. I do long distance healings, as I do shamanic healing work. It's long distance, and I can do it in person if you're in Colorado. And I also do, I talk with your loved ones on the other side. I'm a medium, and I can do psychic readings of all types in career, love, family, anything that any question that you might have, I have an answer for that. And I also do life readings, past life readings, present, future, anything that you may have in store for you in your life, I am available. And I also make, I'm a silversmith, so I make jewelry. And those pieces are commissioned strictly for the individual. I will need a picture of what you are looking at if you are looking for something specific, but can make it. And I am very reasonable. I do charge $100 an hour for readings. I will do less time, as much time as you would need. But my readings generally last for 30 minutes to an hour. And so it's usually $100 an hour and $50 for a half hour. So if you would like a reading, you can contact me through there. I also have a PayPal account of which we can I can give you all the information through email or off the telephone. So I work with everyone. No one gets turned away. So thank you.
Great, Cheyenne. If you're looking for a reading from me, you can contact me at either spiritwindthemessenger@hotmail.com or 207-374-5072. I do all kinds of, I can help you with just about any question you might have. If you're looking for an email reading, I suggest a donation of $20. If you want an hour phone reading, I suggest a donation of $60. I take PayPal, but I also work with shorter periods, the longer periods of time. If you want a 15-minute reading, a 20-minute reading, 45, whatever. But usually for me, a reading would probably take about an hour. I'm willing to work with your budget, so bring your offer to the table, and we'll see what we can do, because I won't turn anyone away. If you need my services, please feel free to contact me at any time. Also, I do healing work, healing energy, and I'm a medium like Cheyenne, light worker, so I'd love to hear from you. I would love to read for you. I will not sugarcoat. I will not tell you what I think you want to hear. I will give you what I get. I will, and for an email reading, it will be whatever I get. It will not be so many words. I don't do like some people do, and oh, you get so many words at least. No, it's whatever I get. So it could be any, you know, it could be several paragraphs. It all depends on what spirit decides to give me. And if you would like, if you're interested in jewelry, I also make jewelry. I'm not a silversmith, but I do work with, I have a business called Dreamweaver Designs, and I work with stone beads such as moss agate and amethyst and aquamarine, kyanite, rose quartz, smoky quartz, you name it. And I work with, I use a lot of, I might use stone pendants and or sterling silver pendants in my designs. Also, I use a lot of Hill Tribe silver, which is handmade by the Hill Tribes people in Thailand, which has a higher silver content and is very beautiful. If you're looking for, I make necklaces, earrings, and bracelets. So if you're looking for a necklace, just let me, we can discuss the lengths and the, how many strands you'd like and what stones you'd like, some idea of design. And also, I take PayPal for whatever I do. And if you're interested in having some chakra jewelry, we can discuss that. Whatever you're into. And for now, if you'd use my Spirit Wind the Messenger email, I can send you some pictures to give you an idea of what I do. Also, we have a sponsor called Richard Palanga, who's Divine Body Wash at divinebodywash.com. For anyone who donates $25 to the show, you'll get a bottle of Divine Body Wash. And for those of you who donate $35 or more to the show, you'll get not only a bottle of Divine Body Wash, but you'll also get a bottle of Body Mist. And if you're looking for a reading from Donnie, Psychic X Journeyman, you can contact him at 740-500-8863. You can also contact him at his website, psychicxjourneyman.com, or Honoranum, or Keen. He reads there also. He's also on Skype, and he does relationship counseling. Yeah, my brain's all of a sudden gone blank on all the things he does. He also does life coaching. He does past life regression and past life readings. He does angel card readings. He also, if you want, and he works on Skype, through Skype. And if you want to get a group of people together, use a computer, he can read for, you know, have a party. Contact him for that, and he can read for however many people you have. And his girlfriend, April Angel, I think she's April Angel Medium at yolasite.com or something like that. She's also on Skype, Aranum. And Keen, she's a clairvoyant who does spells and healing work. So, and if you're looking for good readings from any of us, just give us a shout, and we'd be happy to read for you. I think that's it. I think we're still doing recording time.
Okay.
Everybody's gone except for the caller that, the one that couldn't call in. I asked her if she'd like me to call her, but she hasn't responded.
She's probably gone.
Nope, she's still in the chat room. She needed to talk
oh.
to someone. She wished she could call in, but for some reason she couldn't, so I offered to call her because she said she wished she could talk to us. So I think we've pretty well finished the show, so I might as well play the ending music.
Okay.
Whichever one it is, he's got all these different songs on here. Yeah. Well, try this one. Whatever it is.
Okay, I'm going to let you go.
Okay. Take care. See you tomorrow. I'll call into the other show.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
In my life, I see where I've been. I said that I'd never fall again. Within myself, I was wrong. My searching ain't over.